Hi, everyone. So glad Sean's in the building. Hey, it's so good to be able to join you at home today. Really good. I was having a little chuckle at myself just a couple of minutes ago because, you know, I said this last time, I just want to go, let's say hello to one another. Here's the confession. One of the reasons that as preachers we like to do that is because it just gives us a minute to get our notes in place, just to kind of calm ourselves. But actually, look, I'm just confessing that to you now. So you can't do that. Maybe at home you want to just, on the feed, you want to just say hi to one another. But it really is good to be able to join with you this morning. And it's my prayer. In fact, I'm going to pray right now. Because every time we open this book, every time we read what's contained within it, every time we position ourselves to hear from God, the best prayer we can pray is, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me? So would you join me right now as we do that? Those of you in the room, would you do the same? Let's not just be spectators here this morning. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and to speak directly into our lives. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you lead us into all truth. You, Holy Spirit, are truth. You lead us into all truth. And so this morning, as we open this book, and as we just talk around some of the words we find within it, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak deep into our lives. Not just through the words I say. In fact, I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you would, if necessary, bypass all of that. Because you know exactly where we're at, the thoughts on the concerns of our minds, what we're facing right now, and your word speaks directly to us as individuals. And so I thank you by faith that you're going to do that this morning. Amen. So listen, those of you in the room or at home, if you've got your Bible, I'd love you to open it to Mark chapter 8. And I'm going to suggest that you keep it open at Mark chapter 8, because although I'm just going to read one part of that, we're actually going to look at a couple of other bits within it, because this whole chapter is just going to speak to us in the few moments I've got this morning to share with you. So if you've got a Bible, open it to Mark chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 22 to 25. A wonderful story. Let me read it to you right now. So it says this, it says, I'm actually going to read from verse 23, from verse 22. When they arrived at Bethsaida, so that's Jesus and the disciples, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and to heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Now this is the gross bit, you ready for it? Then spitting on the man's eyes. I have nothing to say about that, just that it's gross, but that's what Jesus did. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. What a fascinating story. And this morning, I'm not really just going to focus on this. But if I could, it's incredibly fascinating, isn't it? You know, it's kind of a two-part miracle. And you could ask the questions, as many people have done, you know, what did Jesus not get it right first time? Or what was going on here? And I don't really want to dig into all of that. But what I do know is this, is that nothing in Scripture is wasted. Everything is there for a reason. And Jesus, everything he did, everything he said was with intention and purpose. So I almost want to throw it back to you and say, read that passage, see what God wants to say to you from it, because there's actually loads in it that I think can really speak into our lives today, because nothing is wasted. But here's the thing that I want to note this morning. The man's confession the first time round was this: I can see something. I can see something, but I can't see clearly. Have you ever found yourself in a situation? It might be a conversation with somebody. It might be an actual place. It might even be a conversation that you're having, and it's not words that are being said to you, but actually it's words that come out of your mouth. And you find yourself going, whoa, there's something in that. There's something that I'm sensing that is bigger than me. It's bigger than just my humanness at play here. There's something, I'm going to say, there's something of the kingdom of God at work going on here. I can see a little bit, but I can't see it fully. I wonder if you've had those experiences. I've had loads. As I was preparing this message, I just thought I've had so many. I can think of one straight away that took place just outside of this building about 3 years ago. As I was having a conversation with somebody right outside this building, it had been a preacher that we'd had here. They're not local to our church. And as they were packing up their car, they said something to me. And as they said it, I remember thinking, there's something in what you're saying, but I don't see it clearly. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you and say almost something of what they said even offended me a little bit. I thought, they're not seeing clearly. But actually, the more I've journeyed with Jesus, the more I've looked back at that conversation and gone, that was a key moment, because something was happening there in the spirit. God was planting something in my heart. I just didn't see it clearly. I wonder if you've had moments like that. I wonder if you found yourself, again, I can think of a time when we were at the pavilion. I can remember having a conversation with somebody and some words came out of my mouth and I literally thought, where did that come from? It was actually a statement of faith. It was something that I was declaring. And I want you to know that I'm not exactly, you wouldn't describe me really as an optimist. Not really. I'm not one of those people. But something, a faith declaration came out of my mouth, because there's a difference between faith, hearing from God and declaring truth, and optimism. So a faith declaration came out of my mouth and it shocked me. Have you ever had moments like that where you've said something and you've gone, where did that come from? You almost shock yourself because it doesn't sound like your language. It's not your narrative. It's not the normal phrases that you would use. I want to urge us this morning as I start this message to say, don't dismiss those moments. Don't dismiss those times where you find yourself in a place or a circumstance or a conversation and something is said or something happens and you go, there's something in this. I don't see it clearly, but I see something. 3 years ago, I had the privilege to go to Burkina Faso. Some of you will have seen, I've put up some photos on Facebook, some memories of that. An incredible trip, and I can remember coming home from that trip and just knowing I had seen something. I had experienced something. I saw in part. I didn't see fully. Do you know, we have moments like that where we go, I'm seeing something. I'm sensing something of the kingdom of God. There's something bigger at play here. I don't see it clearly, but I do see something. And I want to say to us this morning, don't dismiss those moments. And here's my challenge, don't walk away too soon. What would have happened to this man in this story if he had dismissed the moment of seeing something and he'd walked away too soon? And so often we do that. We take something. If I had dismissed the conversation that I had with this particular person outside this building about 3 years ago, if I had completely dismissed it and walked away too soon, I could have missed the journey that God wants to take me on and is still doing. And so often we sense something. We get a pull towards something. We go, there's something in this, but we're not prepared to sit with it and work it through. And I want to challenge us today. Let's not be a people who dismiss those moments. See, here's what this man did. And I want you to grab a hold of this morning. This man just lingered a little bit longer around Jesus. He didn't walk away. He wasn't too scared to say, actually, to tell the truth. Come on, that's what it was. It was the truth. Jesus said, what do you see? I mean, how many times has somebody prayed for you and they've gone, are you healed now? And because you don't want to offend them, you go, yes, but you're not. Or somebody asks you something and we say what we think they want us to say. This man had the courage to tell Jesus the truth and he lingered. He hung around the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords long enough so that he could say, now I see clearly. And I want to just say this again. Don't dismiss the moments, but linger long enough. Hang around Jesus long enough. Stick with it just a little bit longer, because this story finishes with Jesus, with the declaration, now I see everything clearly. God, don't you want that? Would you just say those words with me? Now I see everything clearly. Thank you, Sean. You saying that at home? Come on, let's let that desire grow within us. I want to be someone who sees things clearly. I don't yet, but I want to see things more clearly. And when I read this beautiful story, I see this encounter with Jesus where the guy saw a little bit, but then he saw in full. I'm going to say it again. Don't dismiss the moments where you only see a little bit. Don't walk away too soon. Stick with Jesus, because as followers of Jesus, we're called to live by the Holy Spirit and to see with spiritual eyes. The reason I want you to keep your Bible open on chapter 8 is because this whole chapter, Jesus talks so much about sight. I'll come to that. He talks so much about sight. This time last year, literally this time last year, I had one of these moments where I saw a little bit, but I didn't see in full. Friend said to me this time last year, and it was on a Sunday morning, so almost exactly to the day. At the end of the service, this friend said to me, "Sarah, I really want to go to an Ash Wednesday service. Would you come with me?" Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. Like, my upbringing as a Pentecostal, I have never been to an Ash Wednesday service in my life. Not only have I never been, but the very thought of it made me feel deeply uncomfortable, if I'm honest. Please don't take offense by that, and please understand, and I might unpack that a little bit. But here's the truth. In the moment, on that Sunday morning, when I was asked, "Would you come with me?" my natural response would have been to say, "Not really. That's not my bag. It's not my cup of tea. You go. I'll pray for you." But something in that moment stirred in my spirit, and I thought, I need to go. Even if, and I'm going to throw this out there because somebody needs to hear this, even if I was only going because it was support to that person, that was good enough reason. That was good enough reason. And sometimes we need to get over ourselves and just do that. But something in my spirit said, there's something in this for you, Sarah. You need to go. You need to be in that service. And so I did. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Again, maybe you don't know that. Maybe like me, because of your churchianity, the way you've been brought up like me, steeped in Pentecostal church my whole life, this is not part of my practice. Lent is not part of my practice. But I found myself last year sitting in this Ash Wednesday service. And I want to tell you this, it was deeply uncomfortable for two reasons. The first reason was this, is that it was so out of my comfort zone. I didn't have a clue what was going on. Maybe that's how you feel when you come to Harbour Church. Maybe when you come to Harbour Church, you're like, who are these freaky people? What's going on here? Maybe you're sitting here this morning going, yep, I'm out of my comfort zone. That's how I felt last year, out of my comfort zone. There was liturgy and things that were being said that I was like, oh, I just can't quite get my head around this. There was a deep discomfort to it. It was an alien environment. But the second thing that was actually really uncomfortable for me and probably had the biggest impact on me was the soberness of the moment. You see, here's the thing, and I want you to understand this. I'm a Pentecostal who likes to live and speak in the truth, and I want you to hear me right because this is true, but I would rather live in the joy and the hope of resurrection than be reminded of the fact that I am human and I am but dust. And so as a Pentecostal who prefers the victory and the joy of Resurrection Sunday, being reminded for an hour that literally I am but dust and the reality of my humanity was deeply uncomfortable. In fact, we got out of the church that we were at and I sat in the car with this person and I literally just said, oh, I didn't like any of that. I want to throw it all off. And I started to declare all this truth about resurrection life, all this truth about who I am in Jesus. And that is all true. We're to live in the victory and the resurrection that Jesus has given us. But as I have lingered around Jesus a little bit more this year, as I have dared to say, I see something, but I don't see clearly. Jesus opened my eyes to understand what was happening in that moment. The more I've lingered and hung around Jesus, the more I've realized that something significant was happening in that service. Because here is the truth of it. Until we learn to face the reality of our humanity, until we learn to recognize that we are but dust, we can't embrace true resurrection life. Last Sunday morning on Radio Church, Katie Lockie was speaking. And she was speaking from the passage where the disciples are in the boat with Jesus and there's a great storm. And the disciples are terrified. And if you know the story, you'll know that Jesus was asleep. The disciples are terrified and they shake Jesus. They wake him up and they say, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? And she began to share on this story and she began to relate it to her own life. She talked about the enormity and the reality of her own humanity. She talked about being scared and terrified, as many of us are feeling and have felt throughout this year. And not just this year, but just because of life's circumstances. She began to be very honest about her own story, and right towards the end of the message, those of you that have heard it will know this, she said these words, "I have realized the absolute insufficiency of my self-sufficiency." I'm going to say that again, although I think the words are going to come up on the screen. "I have realized the absolute insufficiency of my self-sufficiency." Listen to me today. I want to tell you this. Until we realize the absolute insufficiency of our self-sufficiency, until we are prepared to lay down our lives, to die to ourselves, we actually can't experience the joy of resurrection life. This is the mystery of the gospel. It's a complete mystery that my human mind can't get its head around, because the gospel message is actually an invitation, wait for it, to die to yourself. I mean, get your head around that. It's the very opposite of everything that our culture teaches us. It's the very opposite. But you read it in the Bible, the invitation from Jesus is to die to yourself. It's an invitation to let go of your need to control. Wow. Wow. But if you're not in control, who is in control? No, Jesus says, will you let go of your control to lean on my control? That's the gospel invitation. You let go. You let go of everything that actually you hold so dear and so precious. It's an invitation to lay down your will in exchange for his will. And this gospel message, this invitation, leads us to real life, to real freedom. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's not easy. It's a cost. It's a choice. But I'm also going to be honest with you and say, you won't regret it. And it's gone very quiet here in the room now. But I want to tell you this. When you discover the exchange of heaven, where you give everything that you are, where you lay down your life, you cannot lose. It's impossible to lose. Jesus said these words, unless a grain, a seed, goes into the ground, unless it's buried, unless it dies, it can't produce fruit. You can show me the nicest seed that you've got. I wish I'd brought one with me this morning. You can have a seed, you can display it on your mantelpiece, you can flower it all up, you can make it look amazing, you can put it into a frame, you can put it on the wall, you arty people that like doing things like that. Listen to me, if you do not plant that seed into the depths of the soil, if that seed does not die, it will never produce fruit. And the problem with so many of us is that we want a fruitful life. We want to be fruitful for Jesus. We want to do so much so that everyone can see and we feel that we're functioning well. But Jesus says, if you want fruit, you've got to die. It's the only way to find fruit. It's the only way to live a fruitful life for the kingdom of God. Lay down your life. Be prepared to die. And when you do, you cannot lose the fruit that will come. But it's going to cost you. It will cost you. It's a risk. It's a risk, yes, but it's a risk worth taking. And with every part of my being today, I'm saying, if we want to discover resurrection life, the only way is death. A dying to ourselves. A dying to our need to control. A dying to our self-sufficiency. As we lay that all down and surrender, we discover eternal life. Do you know Paul discovered it? What did Paul say? Everything that I thought was to my gain, everything that I had that was credit towards me, I now consider it rubbish. Why? Because he discovered this incredible exchange. I'd rather know you, God. Knowing you is better than any of this. I wonder if you've reached that point. See, Jordan, when she led us in communion, she just spoke about love. Oh, let me tell you this. When you have discovered real love himself, you actually can't do anything else but bow your knee and say, I give you everything, because it's so worth it. He's so worth it. He's so worth it. I remember saying quite a few years ago, he's ruined me. But I mean that in the most beautiful, brilliant way. When you've encountered Jesus, there's no other way to live. And I almost want to say to you, please, 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 please don't do this half-heartedly. I've spent many years of my life doing that. Don't do it half-heartedly. Do you know why? Because that's a miserable life. It's a miserable life. Jesus said you can't, if you try and hold on to your life, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. Complete misery. It's only when we let go that we discover real joy. As I begin to wrap this message up, next week is the start of Lent. It's a time when people intentionally choose to give up certain pleasures. Chocolate, biscuits, I could go on. It's a time where people say for this season, for these 40 days, I'm going to sacrifice something. Time where people may fast. And listen, I don't want to make too much comment about that, but I do want to say this. All of that can be good, and it is good. But if it's merely done, and I want you to hear me now this morning, if it's merely done out of ritual, out of habit, out of your churchianity, because that's what you were brought up doing, oh, it's Lent, so now I need to enter into these 40 days. If it's done out of pressure, because you see everybody else doing it, oh, what are you giving up for Lent? Oh, I better give up something then for Lent. If that's the only reason you're doing it, then I want to suggest to you that you are in danger of reinforcing your self-sufficiency. And actually, you've missed the whole point. Because it's more about you and your goodness. Aren't I good? For 40 days, I didn't eat a biscuit. Aren't I amazing? Check me out. No. That's your self-sufficiency. And you've misunderstood the whole thing. And that's the tragedy of something like Lent. It becomes more about us. It becomes more about what we have done. Look what I've done for Jesus. You've done nothing for Jesus. You'll never be able to. It's everything he's done for you. And the only reason, the only joy that we have is in dying to ourselves. We then discover the richness of resurrection, eternal life that flows through us. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to ourselves. Would you look again at Mark chapter 8? Dave, you can begin to come up now. Right after Jesus heals this man, the man who says, I can see something, but I can't see clearly. And then Jesus touches his eyes again and he can see clearly. Right after that, Jesus gathers his disciples around him. And he begins to tell them about his suffering. You can read it. Look at it there. Mark chapter 8, if you've still got your Bible open. Verse 31. Jesus begins to talk to them about his suffering. He tells them that he's going to be killed. He tells them what's going to happen. He talks openly. It says this, look. Verse 32, as he talked openly about this. Look what Peter does. Let's not be harsh on Peter. He loved Jesus. He was his friend. And so Peter takes Jesus and he says, no way, Jesus. This is not going to happen to you. Jesus is pretty harsh in the way he speaks. But he says these words to him. He says, Peter, you're not seeing clearly. I wonder if this morning Jesus is wanting to enter into our lives and just say, you're not seeing clearly. I wonder if today he wants to say to me, Sarah, you're not seeing clearly. I wonder if there's things that I'm arguing with him about, there's things that I'm wrestling with him about, and I'm going, God, I'm not having this. You know, that's what Peter was saying. I'm not having it, God. We're not having it. No. And I wonder if Jesus just wants to say to us, you're not seeing clearly. Jesus goes on to say these words that are so hard for us. As a preacher, who wants to preach on these words? Come on, look at it with me. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. Whoa, I read that quickly, didn't I? Did you hear it? Shall I read it again? If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you've got to give up your way, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for my name, you'll gain it. What does it benefit you if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Oh. These words of Jesus can sound incredibly harsh. The Ash Wednesday service that I was in last year felt harsh. Really, God? Do I really have to sit here looking at ash, being reminded that I am but dust? Do I really have to ponder that right now? Jesus, is your invitation really one of die to yourself? But here's the thing. When we understand, when we really understand the exchange of heaven, when we really understand and get a revelation that it is in dying to ourself that we enter into eternal, resurrection, powerful, Holy Spirit-led life, then Jesus' invitation suddenly takes on a whole new meaning. A whole new meaning. But I wonder if, like Peter, we're not seeing it clearly. You see, if you read Jesus' words and they seem harsh to you, if all you can see is the cost, then I want to suggest that we're not seeing it clearly. Jesus said to Peter, you're only seeing it from a human perspective. And I sense today that Jesus wants to say, come with me. Come with me. Come and look at it from my side. You know, I'm talking into a camera this morning. You're looking at it from your side of the camera. I'm looking at it from my side of the camera. And just as I'm doing that right now, I sense that Jesus wants to say to you sitting at home, come and look at it from my side of the camera. Come and see it from my angle. Come and see what I see about you. Come and see the life that you can have. You're holding on to your life. You're holding on to control. You're holding on to your self-sufficiency. If you will just let it go, you will discover resurrection life in all its fullness. But we have a choice. Are we willing to take that seed and say, I'll plant it. I'll let it go. Are we willing to trust in the one who loves us unconditionally, the one who is so for us? Are we willing to say, I let go of my control in order to trust you? I let go of my way in order to trust you. And so this Lent, here's what I want to ask you. Why don't we take 40 days to just linger around Jesus a little bit more? To just hang around him a little bit more? Why don't we take 40 days not to give up chocolate? Unless you feel really convicted to do that, that's up to you. Do you know what? As I've read these scriptures in Mark 8, I want to be like that man that just hangs around Jesus a little bit more. And with a cry that says this, Jesus, I want to see clearly. Would you open my eyes? What's the stuff you're struggling with? What's the stuff you're wrestling with? What's the thing that you're just saying, I can't let that go? Do you know, it's not always a bad thing we want to let go. It's often the good things. But it can be the bad stuff. The hurts, the stuff that's happened, becomes our identity, becomes part of us. And Jesus says, like, you're not seeing it clearly. Will you let it go? The good stuff that Paul had, the stuff, look at my credentials. Are you willing to let it go? You're willing to say, I let it go? Because unless a grain of seed falls into the ground and dies, it can't produce a harvest. And so in this season of Lent, Holy Spirit, would you help us to see clearly? Would you open our eyes to see clearly? I pray this in Jesus' name.